So tonight I want to talk about training university students in Gospel Poor Italy. And as we think about university students, I want to show you a picture of our student leaders. So these are people who we have been particularly training to lead the rest of the university ministry in Italy, GBU, Gruppi Biblici Universitari, which just basically means the Bible group at university. And I work there in Rome as the staff worker, getting alongside the university students, and our goal is to share the message of Jesus with other university students. I'm going to show you a couple of different photos as I talk through tonight, but I'm not going to be talking specifically to the photos, so don't try and look at the photos and then try and work out how that's connected in with what I'm saying. But these photos hopefully will give you a little bit of an idea of some of the faces of the students and some of student life in Rome. Training uni students is not the only thing I do, but it is a big part of what my task is. And, well, why? I guess in one sense it's because uni students by nature are young, and when we're young, we need to learn things. We also need to learn things as we're older, but we do learn things as we're young. And particularly in Italy, the situation of the local church is that there's not a lot of other opportunities to be trained in Christian ministry, in leading Bible studies, in discipling other people before you get to university. They don't have things like Scripture Union in schools where you can participate but also maybe be a bit trained. They don't have as many opportunities through the local church. So it's important to be able to train and equip students, and uni is often the first chance they get to do that. But it's more than just this. It's also that GBU really wants to be a student organisation where the students are the key players in the ministry that we do. And so it's important to equip our students to go on and do the ministry that we're wanting to do. And as I already mentioned, talking to Russell, in one sense, why not train university students in being able to serve the Lord Jesus? They go to university to be trained for 40, 50 years of the workforce. Why not go and also be trained for a lifetime and beyond of knowing God and serving Christ? But on top of all those things, it is actually just simply necessary, because I am the only staff worker for GBU in all of Rome. There are three big public universities. There are a few more private universities, 230,000 university students, one staff worker. The students are my team. They are my co-workers. And so training students in Gospel Poor Italy. And some of you, maybe if you've been around summer school for a while, you might have heard us talk about Gospel Poor Italy being Gospel Poor. This might be the first time that you've ever considered that Italy is a place needing people to go and share the gospel, considering maybe some of its history and the presence of so many church buildings. But the reality in Italy is that there's less than 2% of the population who have a personal relationship with Jesus, who know him as Lord and Saviour. And we also, Italy has a church, a Protestant church, that is not well resourced. For example, there's not a lot of opportunities to train, disciple, mentor young people. And I want to give you a little bit more of an idea of what it is to be, how Italy is gospel poor, by telling you about a couple of different students. One student I'll tell you about, his name is, well, we'll call him Cristiano. He actually is not originally from Italy, but he had a similar upbringing to many Italians. When he was in his original country, his home country, he was baptised as a young baby into the Catholic Church. He went to catechism classes when he was a young child, early primary school days, and then he took his first communion at about age 10. At his catechism classes, he didn't hear many Bible stories, he didn't hear much about the miracles or the teaching or really anything about the message of Jesus. Then when he got to high school, he, with his family, they moved to Italy, and now they live permanently in Italy. And at high school, he studied history, and as part of that, studied the history of the church and heard about so much about how there has been so many wars or battles and fights between the popes and the emperors, corruption, priests and popes who fathered children, and he became disillusioned with the church, and that disillusionment turned to anger. So when I met him halfway through his first year, he was actually angry at the church. And he said, I believe there is truth. I am looking for truth, but it cannot be in the church. There is too much abuse, too much corruption. It's all power games. This is someone who is looking for the truth in gospel poor Italy. I want to tell you about another person, and we'll call him Ahmed. He is from Iran, and he's come to Italy to study, do a three-year degree there. Now, he actually describes himself, he said to me, Gillian, I'm a bad Muslim. By that, he meant that he sort of picks and chooses because he's also quite disillusioned with Islam. He, for example, says he doesn't eat pork, he doesn't drink alcohol, but he also doesn't go to the mosque and he doesn't say his prayers. So he's here, he's in Italy, and he thought, well, I'm in Italy, I'm in Rome. I might investigate Christianity. I mean, it's the home of the popes. So he asked some of his Italian students, students in his classes, what's this Christianity about? And they talked a little bit about the Pope, a lot about the saints, about Mary. Someone described how at Christmas time you go to church, you take the Mass, midnight Mass. He told me how he visited some of the famous church buildings and that are there in Rome. And he said to me one day that he's actually decided he doesn't think much of Christianity. It's quite an insightful comment. He said, because in Christianity, when you sin, you have to go to a church, to a man in a box, tell the man what you've done, and he'll tell you what to do, and then sin's no longer a problem. And I don't think that's good enough. That's too easy. I thought it was quite an insightful comment of someone investigating Christianity in gospel poor Italy. And I want to tell you about one more student. We'll call her Lucia. She's actually probably the most common type of student that we meet in Rome. This particular student is studying at the University Roma Tre in studying economics, and again had a very similar upbringing of baptism, catechism, First Communion. And through it all, it never really felt like a spiritual experience. It was just what she did with her friends and what you do when you're young. She is a very bubbly person, full of life. She loves music and movies. She goes out with her friends. She said to me that she wouldn't call herself an atheist. She knows that there's something there, but she's not really interested in God. He's not particularly relevant to her life. She doesn't like the church. It's too restrictive, and she doesn't really want to think about it. She's not rude. She's not angry. She's just not interested. So some of the students that I've met, some really trying to find out truth but don't have an opportunity to hear about Jesus and his grace. Some who are visitors to Italy and think, what a great opportunity to find out about Christianity. And others, many, many others, who are really just totally indifferent to Christianity or anything spiritual. And it's in this context that I am trying to help Christian university students engage. They are the missionaries. They are the missionaries in the student residences, in the lecture rooms, in the computer labs, on the field trips. And I'm trying to help them as they try to bring the gospel into their cultural world of the university. And so now I want to tell you about a few of our Christian students that I've been working with and I've got to know. I'll tell you about a student, and we'll call her Monica. She studies at Sapienza University, an art student. She's been part of GBU for about 2 years and has enjoyed finally meeting some other Christian friends her age. And she has been really good for the GBU group because she doesn't live in a Christian bubble. In fact, she doesn't have one. She can't. She is part of a very small Protestant church where everyone else is either a lot older than her or a lot younger than her. So her friends are all from her uni course, her arts degree, or from her high school, or she likes to do theatre, so she's part of an amateur theatre group. And it's only recently that she's actually found some Christian friends her age. But being part of GBU has helped her gain confidence in talking to these many, many friends that she has about her faith in Christ, whereas previously she would probably have compartmentalised Christianity and then friends, GBU has given her the confidence to start some conversations, and she has invited them to Bible studies and to many events. In fact, I've got to know one of her friends quite well. She came along to the Mark drama that we did just at the end of last year. She's come to Bible study. She's come to some of our Mission Week activities, and we've got together a couple of times to catch up, have a coffee and have a chat. And last week, Monica, this Christian student, she and I were at a conference for university students in Germany, and she asked me to go with her to the bookstall to find a book that she could give to this friend. And knowing her friend, knowing books and authors, and also knowing a little bit about what books are in Italian and what books might be in simple English or hard English, I was able to help Monica choose a book for her friend that she could give to her as yet another thing that she's doing to try to share her faith with her friends. So that's Monica. I'll tell you about Sunny. Sunny is an international student in Rome. He has come and he is doing his degree in English, a 3-year degree in engineering. And he lives in a university residence, and most of the other people in his residence are also international students. And all the other students in his degree they're non-Italian speakers. So his world is with international students in Rome. He took a few months to find his feet in Rome, and then in his second semester got in touch with us. He's been a Christian for quite a few years in his country, and got in touch with us, and then in April came along with some other students from Rome to the national student conference that we hold for all of GBU just up near Florence. And at that national conference, we do seminars and try to do things to help students be more confident as they share their faith, and also really try to encourage students to be bold as they go back to uni to live for Christ. And we went up to this conference, we came back, and the week that we got back, I got a phone call message saying, call me. And so we had a chat, and he said, Gillian, I need help. I have so many classmates and so many friends in my residences, and they're from South Asia, they're from the Middle East, and they're all Muslim. And I don't know how to answer their questions. One friend accused me of believing in three gods, and another friend said that Christianity is so blasphemous because how could God be a human being? And he said, I know what I believe, but I don't know how to answer these friends. So Sunny and I started meeting up to answer these questions. Now, I've not been able to meet his friends. They're all male students. They're Muslims. It's hard to find an appropriate social context to meet them. But that's okay. Sunny is the evangelist in his course and at his residence. And I've been meeting with him for about a year to help him be an effective evangelist with the people around him. Tell you about another student, and I'll call her Giuliana. She is one of the leaders at Sapienza University in Rome, and she's been leading the group for 18 months and has grown so much over her time at uni. She comes from a Christian family, and I remember my first conversation with her when we were talking about her maybe becoming a leader of the group. And she admitted to me that when she had originally come to uni, she just thought GBU was sort of like another youth group, bunch of Christians getting together, hanging out. But the more involved she got, she realised it was actually about taking the message of Jesus to the uni. And this didn't put her off. Sometimes this actually really scares people and they don't necessarily want to be part of it anymore. But this really excited her, and she's a natural leader. She can hold a crowd, she just gathers people around her. And she is really great at exciting the new students about being at uni, being part of GBU, for the primary purpose of sharing the gospel. And then the secondary purpose is, yeah, we have fun and we enjoy each other's company and we eat really good pizza with no pineapple. But, you know, that's the that she is one of these great leaders of students. Now, as part of our program for our student leaders, I meet up with her. We read the Bible, we pray, we chat about things and what it is to be a leader. And that is not as I mentioned earlier, it's not a big part of Italian Protestant church culture. Training, mentoring. There are some things for mentoring, but where it exists, it's often program-based, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. But one of the things I'm really trying to help our students is to see the importance of having everything based in God's word. And so I said to her, we're going to meet up. What part of the Bible do you want to read? What part maybe do you not know, or you haven't read, or you're a bit confusing, or something like that? So you choose, and we'll read it together. And she chose Hebrews. I thought, yay, what a great part of God's Word to read. And in our first meeting, we read through just the first four verses or four, five verses. We have this basic method that we use: observation, what's in the text. We ask questions to try to understand, and then we think about how that applies. And if you remember the start of Hebrews, we spent a long time talking about the implications of what it is that God has spoken in so many different ways, but in these last days, He has spoken through His Son. He's spoken most completely through His Son. And I said, well, What implications does that have for us and what we're doing? And we talked a lot about how if God has spoken and God has got a message, then the best way is to hear God's message is to go to listen to His words. And she started to see actually why we use Bible studies as a really fundamental key part of our evangelism, bringing people to the Word of God. Now, I mean, it's good to do Bible studies for evangelism, but she was able to see some of our reasoning behind it as we were working through this part of Hebrews. Let me tell you about Marco, who is studying civil engineering, and he is also a student leader, but new this year. A lovely young Christian who wants to spend his whole life serving God, and he's trying to work out what that looks like, and really was so excited to be asked to be a leader of the GBU. And in October this year, which is the start of our academic year, we sat down to think about how to plan the year ahead. And he did what I think is quite a natural thing. He listed a whole heap of events and things that we did last year, Mission Week, this conference, Bible study, whatever, and worked out which worked well. And so, yep, thought, well, let's do those again. But I suggested to him that if God is a personal God, and if the thing that is really distinctive about Protestant evangelical Christianity is that it's about God who has we have a personal relationship with God, rather than just thinking of a whole heap of programs and events, why don't we think about our people and who we've got, who the contacts are, where they're at, and how we can help them move forward. And so whatever events we've got serve our people rather than just planning events. We've got non-believers, we've got believers, we've got first years, we have some of these international students. And it's been so lovely watching him really run with this idea of thinking people and events kind of second that serve the people. So he'll all turn up to Bible study and he'll say, now I contacted that person, they couldn't come today, but I've contacted that other person, she's just got a class, but she'll be coming, and I'm just going to go out and meet another person because we arranged to meet at that place and we'll come up to Bible study together. And it's just so lovely to see him see one of the key principles of leadership, that is actually leading people, not just running events. And I'll tell you about two more students that are also really exciting, and I'll call them Luca and Giorgia, and they are leaders at a university, one of the smaller universities in Rome, and the group there, the GBU group, is quite small, and we talked about how to grow the group, and not many people are coming to us. I thought, well, if they're not coming to us, we've got to go out to them. So we've decided, let's go out to the courtyards and let's go out to all the hangout spaces at uni to try to talk to them and to engage in them. And now Luca, they both really wanted to do this. Luca, he's a very intelligent, very articulate and very confident person and confident in what he believes. And he's always up for a really good discussion. Lacks a little bit of emotional or empathetic engagement at times. Giorgia, she's quite a shy, timid person, but a very personable one-on-one. But she often gets stuck. Maybe when someone might ask a bit of a curly question, she'll sort of block up and not necessarily know how best to respond. So we go out in pairs or sometimes in threes, and it's great to be able to work with these students and with Luca to try to maybe at some point introduce a little joke to lighten up the conversation, or with Giorgia to be there, let her get the conversation going. She's very personal. She's got brilliant Italian. Mine's not so good. But then when a question comes, to think, well, let me help you answer that one. So it's just a lovely way to be able to be helping these students engage in their task of taking the gospel. So I hope this has given you a little bit of an idea of the situation and what I'm trying to do. But I guess the thing to say, and we've been hearing this from Mark all summer school, that this takes, well, we're not beginning this, but I want to say this takes time, and I am so thankful to CMS that puts an emphasis on long-term mission. Because it does take time to get to know a student like Monica and her friends, let her trust me to know her friends. It takes time then to know what resources are available in Italian, books and things like that to help her, to recommend to her. It takes time to build up language, to be able to go out with Giorgia and help her when maybe a curly question comes about the historicity of the Bible or science, how science fits in with Christianity. It takes time just to understand the university system, which is quite different to Australia, but to understand that so I can relate to students and so that I can help international students as they try to find their feet in Rome. It takes time to build relationships with pastors, to let them get to know me so that they can encourage their students to be part of the GBU ministry. So I am thankful for CMS's commitment to long-term ministry. I've been in Italy for 5.5 years now, and all these stories of the students I've told you, just about all of them have happened. In fact, no, all of them have happened in the last 12 months, 6 to 12 months. I couldn't have been here 12 months ago telling you these stories because it has taken this long to get to that point. And in many ways, I feel I'm really at the beginning. It's still a very fragile ministry. For all these encouraging stories, I could tell you so many more frustrations and discouraging and disappointments. But my prayer is that with the foundation of these 5 years, I can build on something and go forward into the future to help grow something that is a little bit less fragile, training students, equipping them, getting alongside them to share the message of Jesus at university. I have a plan, I have a strategy, but I keep being reminded, in fact, of that verse that Russell read earlier, that it's actually God's plan. He had a very long-term plan before the creation of the world to save us in Christ. And it's his strategy that we read about, that he wants people to believe the word of Christ, to have it, to hear it by having it preached, and to have it preached by sending people. That you've sent me to Italy, but we are sending the students into the university. I would love to see in 5 years more Italian missionaries in the university campuses. That is, more students who are equipped and confident and able to engage with other students. And I would love to see another Italian staff worker, not just 1, 2, 3, 4. I would love to see co-workers who are, my students are my co-workers, but also see Italian staff. But that is going to take time for a whole heap of reasons, that those people really can only come from maybe recent graduates or more realistically current students. They've got to finish uni. They've got to have a go at leading as a student. We've got a program of training junior staff. I've got to help them get to some Bible college training, help them find Italian funds to support them. And we're looking at least 5 years, probably longer. So I've been there for 5 years, but I can really see things that almost really just at the beginning, and God willing, 5, 10, even more years into the future. And I guess the thing to say is that there's room for more of you. Please come. But if you're going to be doing 10, 15, 20 years in Italy or somewhere else, then the time to be thinking about it, well, the people I'm trying to talk to tonight are probably the people who are not heading towards retirement and the end of the working life, but the people who've got 20 years to give, 15, 20 years to give. So particularly if you are a new graduate, or if you're at university, or even at high school, now be thinking about how you can be involved in long-term mission. And there's really two important ways. One is actually going for 20 years, 15, 20 years. But for everyone who goes for 15, 20 years, you need a whole heap of people who are going to commit to 15, 20 years of supporting you while you're here still. So my prayer is that we will have more people in Italy who know Jesus. And to finish off with, I want to tell you one wonderful story about someone who's become a dear friend, and we'll call him Leonardo. He was a student when I, he was a student leader, and he graduated the summer I arrived in Rome. So I'd known him from when I lived in Siena. But when I got to Rome, this wonderful, faithful, experienced student leader was leaving. I tried to convince him to stay on as staff. That was really more for selfish reasons than for the ministry. But it was the right thing for him to... He had a job, and it was the right thing for him to move. But I asked him what memories he would take from GBU. And he said to me, he said, GBU gave him the confidence to start a conversation with anyone he met about what he believed. Said that GBU gave him the confidence to read all of the Bible, not just the bits that he kind of knew well or had heard a sermon on, but to read all of it. And he said GBU gave him the chance to have a go at leading his peers. Now, he today continues to serve God through his local church, particularly involved in the youth ministry. He serves GBU. He's part of the national board. And he goes off to work each day as the only believer in his workplace. But investing in him as a student has had a great impact on his life. And through him, we trust the youth in the church, the university ministry, and hopefully also people in his workplace. So my hope and prayer is that we will see more of people like Leonardo who come through the GBU ministry, are equipped for being missionaries at uni, but are equipped for being missionaries in their church, in their workplace, so that Italy can be part of a world that knows Jesus. Thanks so much.